The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed the child in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you convert and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you, their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Saturday, we had the privilege to be able to celebrate the Feast of the Great Archangels. We pondered how the angels are meant to ascend and descend, to help us to do both, to ascend together with them to praise God. And they descend with us so that we in turn may descend humbly in receiving what God gives and responding to it and paying it forward. Today, though, we have something special, a feast of thanksgiving for the ones that the Lord has chosen to guard and guide us. The greatest gift that the Lord has given us besides himself is the gift of our guardian angel. There are lots of times we may be discouraged in our own pursuit of Jesus' footsteps. But we should always have confidence because God has loved us so much that he has given us this person whose whole existence is to help us become a saint, to help us get to heaven, to help us to respond to everything that God is asking. He's not a puppeteer. He's not going to bulldoze against our freedom. But he's going to pull out every possible stop imaginable to help us become the one we were created to be. We should always be praying to our guardian angel. We should always be thanking them. But what a great gift it is that we at least have one day in which we're able to do all of that publicly and liturgically. How does our guardian angel want to help us? We see in today's first reading from the book of Exodus the general outline. This is an instruction to all the Jews about the guardian angel God had sent for the people as they were in the desert. But it likewise applies to each of us. "I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared." So the angel's a protector. The angel's also a leader. Because the guardian angel's a protector, we should be bold. Our guardian angels are way stronger than even the most capable Secret Service agent. So we shouldn't be stupid, but at the same time, we should be undaunted. And our guardian angel likewise knows the direction. We make a very wise choice in following that angel's lead. We've got to ask for it. God tells us, "Be attentive to him and heed his voice." Attend. What does that mean? Always returning toward him. Heed his voice. Doesn't speak in anything that would register on a decibel meter. We can't see him, but he is there. And even though he surpasses our five senses to discern, We know he's there doing this function. So what happens? How then do we attend to him and heed his voice? We just ask him. Turn to him. Guide me. Make the light bulb go off within. Help me. God says, don't rebel against him, because my authority resides in him. So often we do want to do our own thing. It's not that he controls us under holy obedience. But if there's anybody that we have ever met who has our best interest in heart and wisely knows what precisely that interest is, it is he. God's authority resides. He loves us with the love of God. God then gives an incredible guarantee. If you heed his voice and carry out all I tell you through him, I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. Don't worry about the people who are going to oppose you. Don't even worry about the devil. I'll take care of all of that. My angel will go before you. And that leads straight into the psalm that our angel is like a refuge in a fortress. He'll rescue us from the snare of the fowler. He'll cover us. He'll give us refuge under his wings. He's faithful. It's like a buckler and shield, incredible weapon, making us never fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly, nor pestilence and plagues. It's because of the confidence of the guardian angels that St. Charles Borromeo was able literally to go in and care for plague victims, because the angels are stronger. Today, Jesus teaches us something in the gospel precisely about how we're to relate to others, as well as what the angels are doing. He talks to us about little children. Your entire existence is dedicated to little children. Their angels in heaven are always looking upon the face of my Heavenly Father. God's already given a guardian angel to Svetlana's baby, whom we'll be praying for today. What great hope that should give us. Svetlana likewise has a guardian angel whom we should invoke and pray to through the intercession of our guardian angel. That the guardian angels of each of you are constantly before the face of the Father praying for you at the same time that they're present in your life. It's the easiest thing to reverence another when we become conscious of the fact that their guardian angel is present. 90 years ago today, St. Jose Maria founded Opus Dei at the Divine Calling. One of the most beautiful things I've learned from St. Jose Maria is the devotion of guardian angels. Whenever he would enter a room, he had the habit first of greeting what he called El Personae, the big shot, who was the guardian angel of the person he was about to meet. Whenever he recognized first the guardian angel, the reverence for the person in front of him, even if it was a person coming, in a sense, to make his life very difficult, he would be able to look at the entire scene in a supernatural way. It's a beautiful thing to see all your personajes right now trying to help you to live the words of the gospel, to live this feast, to take each other's and your own even more seriously. To prepare for Mass, one of the meditations that's always helped me very much, which I can't not preach on this feast, is from a Bolivian mystic whose interior locutions and visions have been approved by the local bishop in Bolivia, Catalina Rivas, who in one of the visions that she was given, accompanied by Our Lady, saw what really happens at the Mass. don't mean to put pressure on those who will be carrying up the gifts today, but nevertheless, this is what she saw at the time of the offertory. She saw, in addition to everybody who was at Mass, a whole multitude of young people dressed in white. She said they seemed to have masculine bodies with more feminine faces. But at the time of the offertory, they would leave the pews and start a procession. Their feet wouldn't hit the ground, but they'd be coming forward. The first group had golden bowls. And Catalina, in the vision, turned to Our Lady and said, "Who are they?" She says, "Those are the guardian angels holding the offerings of all those who are prepared for Mass. Those who are offering themselves, those who are offering their sacrifice, those who are really offering their prayers. And they're all coming up for this Ascipiat Dominus Sacrificium Manibus Tuis, for the offertory." Second group, right behind them, was of angels coming up with nothing in their hands. And Our Lady told Catalina, "Those are the ones who have come to Mass, but have brought nothing." Third group were angels with their faces toward the ground. And Our Lady told Catalina that those are the ones who have shown up to Mass, but who don't want to be here, who are giving in to distractions, who are just waiting for the whole thing to be over. Later on during the Mass, she would see all the angels hovering in adoration when Jesus would come on the altar. Not just out of their own supernatural latria, but interceding for all those under their care that they might truly adore the Lord. Today, as we celebrate this Mass and the Feast of the Guardian Angels, we thank God for the gift of these celestial heroes, and we ask that we might please them today and fill their golden bowl.